Well, Arsenal are taking big strides towards their first Premier League title in 21 years, but are there problems round the corner facing the Gunners? Their closest rivals go head-to-head at the Etihad on Sunday as Manchester City face Liverpool. Meanwhile, at the other end of the Premier League table, there's a massive claret showdown at the London Stadium. We've got it all covered on The Assist. To this week's Assist in association with freesupertips.com, your home for daily football hackers and bet builders. I'm Warren Ashurst, and I'm joined this week by both Dan Childs and James Milton to look ahead to the weekend's action in the Premier League in the EFL. Don't forget, of course, to interact with us and give us your thoughts on the Racing Post YouTube channel. We've had a couple of interesting comments over the last week or so. Ian Johnson got in touch and told us that he was in the last man standing competition. He got through to round 10, and after listening to last week's Assist, he selected Brighton, who, of course, went on to beat Leeds comfortably at the Amex Stadium. So well done to Ian for getting through to round 11. And Andy Turner, our regular listener as well and viewer, has said that he mentioned Cheltenham to beat Bradford in the FA Cup last week, which is a great shout as a cup upset there. And he also backed Aaron's suggestion of Salford draw no bet against Lincoln. Salford, of course, went to go through to the second round on penalties. So let us know your thoughts, of course, on anything involving this week's matches or anything that we have to talk about during the show. We're going to get into the Premier League action now straight away. And we'll start off where else but with the biggest game of the weekend. It's at the Etihad Stadium on Sunday afternoon, a 4:30 kickoff for Manchester City against Liverpool. As far as the prices are concerned, well, City are 10-11 to claim the win. It's 13-5 at Liverpool, and the draw is 29-10. James, we'll start with you with this one. Both teams picking up really impressive wins in the Champions League in midweek and come into this in fine fettle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's really set it up nicely. You know, if Liverpool had kind of flopped again against Real Madrid, then you know, there wouldn't be quite so much spice to the fixture maybe. But they were terrific against Real, obviously much needed performance. And now it's the question of whether they can back it up away from home, which has been the issue. Been really poor on the road recently. And I'm not convinced. I think, you know, City are odds on for a good reason. We've seen the kind of consistency from them that we haven't from Liverpool this season. I think it's a great chance for City to really kind of lay down a marker that they are resurgent. And you know, the narrative just seems to change with Liverpool so much. You know, at the start of the season, scoring all those late winners. That's what champions do. Then they stop scoring them, start conceding late goals. Well, you know, it was never sustainable in the first place. Now they're excellent performance against Real at Anfield, but are they going to be able to do it away from home? Are Liverpool back? Did they ever go away? I'm confusing myself here, but it should be a fascinating game.
No, we'll talk more about Man City in particular in a minute, but Dan, I suppose, looking at it from a Liverpool perspective, I think a lot of the fans will say, well, he's almost gone back to a bit like back to basics for Arne Slot, bearing in mind that he's brought in the players who delivered for him last season over the last couple of weeks against Villa and Real Madrid, and it seems to have done the trick.
Yeah, I mean, Robertson was one that, you know, people were calling for a while. When he was getting his chances, he was looking a better bet than Kirkes. That's one that's made a difference. Gravenberch coming back from injury as well, I think, has made a difference for them. But I'd have to say that my glass is still probably more half empty than half full over this sort of Liverpool debate. I mean, they're still on a run of three, you know, defeats in a row away from home in the Premier League. They did have that 5-1 win, didn't they, away to Eintracht Frankfurt, and everybody was thinking, oh, you know, Liverpool are back, and then they go to Brentford and were absolutely dreadful. So I'm still not completely fully convinced by them. I mean, there has been a lot of change in the summer, as you said, Warren. I have tried to go back a little bit more to what they know, what they're used to, but I think they look more comfortable in general playing in European nights than they do in the Premier League. And the intensity of the Premier League, especially in away games, they've not shown me yet that they've got the right balance to cope with that.
City, Milts, obviously now firing on all cylinders, it would seem. Off the back of that disappointing defeat against Villa, they've gone with back-to-back wins, and Erling Haaland just looks unstoppable at the moment.
He does, absolutely. I mean, yeah, that Villa game was really the only recent blot on their record. And I think Dan's right. I think you almost have to take these Champions League results with a bit of a pinch of salt, because the best teams in England are so strong compared to nearly every other team in Europe. And I think, you know, City have come through a couple of games which could have been awkward against Bournemouth, who were in great form, and then Borussia Dortmund, and they've won them both really impressively. So I wouldn't put punters off backing City at the prices. I've gone for a player prop, actually, is my best bet. Ryan Cherki to assist a goal. I mean, you know, he set up two first half goals for Haaland against Bournemouth. Came off the bench to score late on in midweek. And I think that Cherki assist Haaland goal combo is going to be quite a regular fixture on the score sheet for City this season. He's an unbelievably talented playmaker. Yeah, his record last season for Lyon was quite extraordinary. I'm looking at the stats, he had 19 assists in Ligue 1 and the Europa League. And that was at a rate of one assist every 156 minutes, which is absolutely terrific. And when you combine him with a striker in the form that Haaland is, I think he's got a great chance to add to that tally.
The plus as well, Dan, for City was Phil Foden's performance in midweek. Two goals for him, and they'll be hoping that he's sort of getting back towards his best again.
Yeah, you got Foden looking good, Cherki looking good. Haaland, you know, is just carrying on, you know, the goal machine that he is. And City in general, I had that sort of dodgy start to the season. I don't know how much maybe that was influenced by their playing at the Club World Cup and a shorter pre-season, but they lost two of the first three games in the Premier League. Haven't done a lot wrong since, really. I know the defeat to Villa, that's their only loss since the end of August. So they've been pretty strong across all competitions for a while. I would mention it's a big game for both clubs, because Arsenal are going to be sitting there thinking, you know, if we can get the win at Sunderland this weekend, one of these two's got to drop points. They're the chasers. So there's pressure really already at this stage with, a 6-point gap to City and a 7-point gap to Liverpool. There's pressure for both of these sides to get the win. I think City will get the win. I think shade of odds on is okay. As I mentioned with Liverpool, I'm looking at their Premier League away performances. I've not seen a single convincing one. The Newcastle away game, you know, considering the circumstances in their favour, playing against 10 men for so long, I thought they were dreadful in for large parts of that game. They scraped a 1-0 win in injury time away to Burnley with a penalty. Burnley without 10 men at the time. And apart from that, they've lost the last three away games. The last away game, the really poor 3-2 defeat at Brentford, where they could have conceded more goals. Clearly, it's a massive boost to get that result against Real Madrid. And Gravenberch coming back does make a difference. But I think there's still a lot more else wrong with Liverpool. I'm not totally convinced about them at the back this season. Canate's look, I'm not been totally convinced by his performances. And City are a team, you know, they're starting to fire on all cylinders now going forward. Four goals against Dortmund, I just think they'll have too much.
Well, both Dan and James siding with Manchester City for Sunday's big game. Let's move on now to the next on our order for the assist this week. And it's Saturday, 5:30 kickoff at the Stadium of Light. As Dan briefly mentioned there, Arsenal are the visitors to Sunderland. Sunderland are a massive 6-1 to win this game, with the Gunners 2-5 and the draw 4-1. And I think, obviously, more than Sunderland, who have been impressive so far this season, Dan, those prices are symptomatic of Arsenal, really. I mean, I watched them against Burnley last week. Didn't start particularly well in the first 15 minutes, but no panic. Stuck to the game plan. Very comfortable winners in the end. And then another comfortable win in midweek in the Champions League.
Yeah, I mean, Arsenal, and it's kind of going under the radar that Arsenal are doing this with quite a lot of attacking injuries as well. Havertz, obviously the long-term one. Gyökeres picked an injury up last week, so he was missing midweek. I think it sounds like he's going to be missing for the weekend as well. So that's a bit of an issue for them. You know, not got a natural sort of number nine there that they were kind of crying out for. And he's made, although he's not sort of shot the lights out, Gyökeres, I think having that natural number nine does make a difference to the way Arsenal play. So they have relied quite a lot on their technical ability and their ability defensively to keep things so tight. You've got the set piece aspect as well that we've, you know, has been, you know, heavily covered. They're so strong from those. So they're just they're finding ways, aren't they, Arsenal, to win despite, like I say, they've picked up a lot of injuries at that top end of the pitch. I think they'll probably find a way to win this, but I don't see it being a cakewalk for Arsenal. I've gone for Arsenal to win by a single goal. Sunderland, I watched the game against Everton. They sort of struggled for the first 30 minutes, which was a bit of a concern. Everton really dominated the game, but they grew into it. And in the end, they were worthy of that 1-1 draw. I think for Sunderland to be where they are at the moment, they're still unbeaten at home as well, don't forget, is a fantastic effort by Labrice and the players. Xhaka's made a huge difference among other new signings that they've made. Great win, don't forget, against Chelsea in a big game recently as well. But I just think Arsenal, even with these attacking injuries, they're finding ways to win. I think they'll just find a way to win this one.
There'll be a lot of people out there thinking, go on, tempt me into that 6-1 for Sunderland. But I suppose it's hard to make a case for it, bearing in mind how comfortable Arsenal look.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, looking at the league table, it looks a big price, doesn't it? Sunderland just had its absolute dream start when you consider, I think they were, 3-1 on to be relegated at the start of the season. And it takes a pretty spectacular collapse for them to be dragged into it now. Yeah, having said that, they've scored plenty of late winners, and this is clearly a huge step up in class. But I think, as Dan says, you know, Arsenal's attacking absences. You know, this time last year, Arsenal fans would have been using these kind of injuries as an excuse, and they've now just kind of kicked on, won their last 10 games, 9 of them to nil. I worry that it is going to catch up with Arsenal at some point. I don't think it will be this weekend, but I think it'll be a competitive game, particularly bearing in mind that Arsenal were away from home in the Champions League in midweek. I think Arsenal fans are kind of taking these victories to nil for granted a little bit at the moment. My brother was out in Prague for the game, and he was more excited about the schnitzel that he had for lunch than the result. I'm going for a 1-0 Arsenal win here. You know, Sunderland obviously really fired up at the Stadium of Light. Granit Xhaka against his former club as well. So there's a lot of interesting subplots here, but I think, as we've seen so often this season already, Arsenal have the class and the mentality to grind it out.
You mentioned at the start of the show, is the trouble around the corner for Arsenal? Because you look at the fixture list and tough trip to the Stadium of Light at the weekend. They've also got coming up Chelsea, Tottenham and Bayern Munich in a row of 3 games. So this is going to be telltale sign for Mikel Arteta's side as to whether they have got the minerals, shall we say, to go all the way and lift a big trophy this season. So Arsenal's latest challenge is at Sunderland on Saturday. Our next game is going to be at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. It's a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday for Tottenham against Manchester United. Spurs 7-4 to claim the win here. It's 13-5 the draw and 7-5 for Manchester United. We'll get Dan's thoughts on Spurs in a moment. Let's concentrate on United, Milts. And yes, 3 games unbeaten, but they'll feel maybe a missed opportunity at Nottingham Forest last weekend.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, that continues the trend of their away performances not being quite up to scratch, you know, with the obvious exception of that win at Anfield. I mean, you know, fantastic results at Liverpool, but Liverpool missed a host of good chances, hit the woodwork twice. So, you know, you'd still have doubts over United away from home. And they are slight favourites to win at Spurs. Now, I mentioned earlier the narrative fluctuating around Liverpool, and it feels like the same with these two clubs. You know, Spurs 2-0 up against Paris Saint-Germain in the Super Cup and ended up losing on penalties. And now certainly a bit of the early season excitement under Thomas Frank has dissipated, and some very frustrated Spurs fans, particularly with their home performances. As a bet in this one, I'm actually going for under 2.5 goals. I think it's quite a big price. You know, Tottenham obviously won the last two by a 1-0 margin, including the Europa League final. And I really struggled for creativity at home this season. But at the same time, I can't quite bring myself to trust United away from home.
I mean, football, Dan, changes, we know, very, very quickly. A matter of days since they were booed off against Chelsea, the crowd loving a 4-0 victory against FC Copenhagen in midweek. Now, granted, no disrespect to Copenhagen, the size of the task in those two games is a little bit different. But where are Spurs at the moment off the back of that midweek win? Do we think that it's instilled a bit of confidence in them?
It will have done, yeah. It wasn't just the win, it was the manner of it as well. Played some good football throughout the game, which hasn't been the case, you know, for in a lot of matches for Spurs this season. Went down to 10 men at 2-0 and you know, still, you know, worked hard and found another two goals. Xavi Simons, it was probably his best game for Spurs so far. He was very creative, created a couple of brilliant chances for Kolo Muani that he completely wasted, but he was looking a lot better. I mean, granted, there's not a lot in terms of his performances much to compare to so far, but he certainly would have gained some confidence from his efforts there. And that's a key because they've lacked that kind of link man and creative force with Kulusevski and Maddison's injuries. So that's a big plus. And the massive plus is Romero coming back. He wasn't fit enough to start against Chelsea. I was kind of worried as soon as his name wasn't on the starting lineup. And he makes such a huge difference, not just his defending, his ability to make that first pass and kind of break the first line in midfield. Is key to Spurs, and they look like so much a better team with him in the side. I've heard the debate going on about who's got the best centre back partnership in the Premier League when fit, and between Arsenal and Spurs, and I think it is quite a tight call. Van de Ven and seriously, Van de Ven and Romero when fit are seriously good players, and they complement each other so well. And Spurs is the goals against column. They've conceded 8 goals. Man United have conceded 16 goals, double the amount. And I've been quite critical of Spurs this season, but the prices for this game, I'm struggling to get my head around, really. They're on the same point. Spurs got that big boost, Romero coming back, the midweek win. For them to be, you know, you can get even money comfortably, draw no bet, Spurs at home. And unlike Chelsea, Spurs against United, Spurs have a very good record against United recently, won all 4 games last season. So they've got a bit of a psychological edge. And United, I'm not sold on them just yet. They went to Forest last weekend, got a 2-2 draw. The XG on the game, the Forest, bearing in mind where Forest are in the league, they've had nearly double the XG against United. So I'm not totally sold on it. I think Spurs away, whatever you think about Spurs, is a tougher game than Forest away. And I think Spurs draw no bet is a great bet.
One thing we have to say is there's a potential health warning for both sets of fans going into this game, because you just do not know sometimes what you're going to get from them. But yeah, it's certainly going to be a fascinating clash at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Saturday lunchtime. The fourth game on our list takes place on Sunday. A whole host of games, of course, on Sunday due to the European action. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff at Selhurst Park. And it's often described as a derby, not necessarily because of the distance between them, but the rivalry between Crystal Palace and Brighton, which is fierce. Palace 5-4 here to claim the win. It's 21-10 Brighton and the draw 5-2. We've already mentioned, Dan, how things have changed quickly with Tottenham. Likewise with Brighton, who were shocking for long periods against Manchester United, but then they responded with a really impressive win over Leeds.
They did. They're very up and down side, aren't they, Brighton? I do worry about them away from home. Got 4 points at the moment on the road. 3 of them was when they won 3-1 at Chelsea, started the game poorly. Chelsea go down to 10 men and they score some late goals. That's 3 of their 4 away points. They kind of went under a bit, I thought, in the away game at Man United. Made it easy for United in that, you know, they had a bit of a flurry towards the end, but lost 4-2. And this, you know, is a big derby game. Obviously, a big mileage between the two sides, but it is a derby game. And I just wonder whether they've got the kind of the defensive strength and the resilience to cope, really. I think Palace have come back really well recently, getting that win away to Liverpool in the EFL Cup, followed it up with a good win at home to Brentford. They're looking, you know, only lost 2 of their Premier League games. And I just think odds against. I think they're a better side, certainly defensively, than Brighton, with Gerhi there, you know, Marshall in the back line. They've got some real attacking weapons as well with Mateta and Sarr. I think they're a little bit of a slightly better side, first 11s than Brighton. Home advantage, odds against, I would take that, Palace to win.
Yeah, certainly tend to agree with Dan Miltz about the starting 11s and the Palace having the edge. And also as well, the fact that Mateta's back amongst the goals is going to be a major boost.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Palace, you know, continue to impress. I've just been reading Simon Giles' excellent piece for which will be in Friday's Racing Post. And he's been looking at the Premier League after 10 rounds of fixture. He has Palace 3rd on expected points, and creating tons of chances, undermined slightly by poor finishing. But yeah, I mean, they're a fantastic side. You know, with European commitments, it remains to be seen how the squad copes over the winter. Looking at this game, I just think the draw stands out. You know, the history of this fixture always points to a tight game. 6 of the last 12 ended 1-1. And as Dan said, Brighton are up and down, hard to trust away from home. But I just think Palace probably short enough to take 3 points. And I'd be looking for another tight, feisty encounter between these two rivals.
A swing back to Saturday's fixtures now, and one of only a couple of games taking place at 3 o'clock, and it's a massive game at the bottom end of the table, because West Ham play host to Burnley. The Hammers 9-10 to claim the victory. It's 3-1 Burnley and 13-5 the draw. Big win for West Ham last time out against Newcastle. I saw parts of the second half of that game. I thought Newcastle were way off it, Milts, I have to say, but you know, it is a huge win for West Ham to get them moving in the right direction. But I look at those prices and think 3-1 for Burnley seems like a very big price.
Yeah, it feels like a bit of a reaction, overreaction, I should say, to that one win for West Ham. And I'm happy to swerve them at those odds. I think you're right. I think their win against Newcastle had a lot to do with a really poor display from Newcastle. Even after Eddie Howe made a triple substitution at halftime, they showed very little spark in the second half. Having said that, you can flip that around and say, you know, West Ham, given the toxic atmosphere at the London Stadium, going behind early on, you know, coming back to win 3-1 was a great effort. But, I mean, they needed a great strike from Lucas Paqueta and then a fluky own goal to turn it around. So I'm not sold on them just yet. I think both teams to score is a really solid bet in this one. And Burnley have really exceeded my expectations in terms of how bold they've been away from home. Mm. Lost 3-0 at Spurs in the opening weekend, but since then scored in defeats at Manchester United, conceded that late goal to lose 3-2 there at Man City and at Aston Villa, and then obviously won 3-2 in that big game at Wolves in their last away fixture. So I think they will definitely see this as another opportunity to bank 3 points. And it should be an open game.
What's your view on West Ham down at the moment?
They were very good against Newcastle. I've got to be fair. How much of it is down to Newcastle being off it? I mean, there's been talk since about Bruno Guimarães, you know, carrying a bit of an illness and, you know, a few issues with some of their players. Gordon obviously come off with that hip problem that he came off with again, didn't he, against Bilbao in the week. So there were certainly some issues with Newcastle. But to be fair to West Ham, they played with intensity. And reacted really well to going a goal down, as James says, the atmosphere there to go a goal down at home. It's not an easy situation to play in, and they dealt with it well, got a well deserved win really on the balance of the game. However, to suddenly be, I mean, odds on in a lot of places. We know how they've been at home for a long time. To win such a big game, there's still 3 points inside the relegation zone. Burnley are the team at the moment, fourth from bottom. They're trying to catch. There's so much on this game. You can only imagine if West Ham don't score early, what the mood is going to be like in the stadium. Do you really want to be on them at odds on in that situation? The answer really is no. I'm not confident here either way, because I do respect the way West Ham played last week. I think Burnley are not the greatest team, and they're going to be struggling throughout the season. But they weren't terrible against Arsenal last weekend. They got a last away game. They got a win, didn't they, at Wolves, 3-2. So they're no mugs, and I just think I could see a close, tense game. The atmosphere is going to be, you can imagine, you know, it's going to be tight and tense in the stadium, and I think that might transmit itself onto the pitch. I'm going to go with a draw, 5-2.
Yeah, it's going to be a really big game at the bottom end of the table. 3 o'clock on Saturday, West Ham against Burnley. We're going to stay with fixtures on Saturday now as we head into the kind of second half of the Premier League fixtures. And 8 o'clock kickoff at Stamford Bridge for Chelsea against Wolves. Chelsea 4-11 to claim the win. Wolves at 15-2, and it's 15-4 the draw. Dan, Chelsea, with that draw in Carabag in midweek, I mean, obviously the first thing that strikes you is that a little bit of jet lag flying all the way back from Azerbaijan is not going to be ideal, but it is going to be Saturday evening and it's a home fixture, which kind of helps them.
Yeah, I think being a home game and as you say, but being an evening game, there's slight positives for them. They've got a big squad as well, so they've got, you know, the ability to kind of mix things up. I think Caicedo didn't start the game, did he? In the Champions League game in midweek, so that's straight away a change they can make to boost the midfield. I would say the price that Chelsea are, I wouldn't be rushing to back them in an accumulator, because with Wolves, I still think, and I've said this a long time, even though the manager's gone now, that there's certainly scope there for them to improve, and they're going to pull some results out at some stage with the players they got. But Chelsea are hard to assess as well. You look at a superb against Spurs, you know, thoroughly deserved 1-0 win. The game before, quite poor in losing 2-1 at home to Sunderland. So I find them a difficult team to assess. And that's another reason I wouldn't be piling on them at short odds in an Acca. I do think they'll probably win, though. Sunderland got the caretaker managers in charge, I think, at the moment. James Collins and Richard Walker up from the academy. Often with a caretaker or interim managers, first thing they look to do is tighten things up.
Yeah,
I think they can keep things quite tight, but Chelsea get the win. So Chelsea and under 4.5 goals I'm going to go with.
That's Vitor Pereira's gone, obviously, and having been given a new contract earlier in the season, it shows you again how quickly football can change. Is there still hope for Wolves?
I mean, you know, 2 points from 10 games is a pretty sticky predicament to find themselves in. And then, you know, when Gary O'Neill was the early favourite to come back, I think he got 9 points in 16 games last season, was sacked. So, you know, I think if you're a Wolves fan, you're slightly concerned about the succession plan after sacking Pereira. I think Dan's right. Like the performances at times this season, you know, there is something there. And you know, draws against Tottenham and Brighton when they conceded late equalisers. But, you know, they've lost to all three promoted clubs, I think. And that's a huge blow in terms of their survival chances. Whoever comes in has got a massive struggle on their hands. I do think this weekend there are going to be goals at Stamford Bridge. You know, I mean, these clubs, Chelsea won 4-3 at Wolves last week in a really chaotic EFL Cup tie. They beat them 6-2 and 3-1 in the league last season. And you know, Chelsea's so hard to trust defensively. You know, you mentioned their long trip back from Carabag, 2-2 draw there. They were 2-1 down at half-time on the verge of a huge upset there. So I think over 3.5 goals is the play for me in this one. It's going to be a really interesting game. But, goals are the way to go, I think.
You know, I like an anytime goal scorer bet, and Chelsea make it incredibly hard with chopping and changing their side every other week at the moment. Will they be able to come out on top against Wolves, as I say, Saturday at 8 o'clock, that game at Stamford Bridge? We're going to move on to Sunday now, and another of the 2 o'clock kickoffs takes place at Villa Park, where Aston Villa play host to Bournemouth. Villa 23-20, Bournemouth 23-10, and the draw 5-2. Watched both of these two teams last week, Milts, and at times Villa caused Liverpool some problems, and Bournemouth caused Manchester City problems as well, and both of them ended up losing.
Yeah, I think two teams are on pretty decent runs of form. You know, I mean, Villa beat City obviously before that defeat to Liverpool in Europa League action on Thursday. So Bournemouth have had a nice break since the defeat at City. I think Villa are too short in this one. I'm still not sold on them. I think they're not creating a huge amount of chances. And I think Bournemouth, to avoid defeat, looks a really solid selection. You know, punished by Erling Haaland last weekend, that high defensive line was exposed a bit. I think if they box a bit clever at Villa Park, they should be okay. And just looking at the subs they brought on at City, shows how strong their squad is. You know, Evan Nilsson, Justin Kluivert, Lewis Cook, Ryan Christie were all really important players for them last season, all on the bench. And I think that bodes well for Bournemouth long term, obviously with no European football as well. I think they've got a real good chance for a kind of top six finish.
Speaking of European football, Dan, we should mention we're recording this before Villa are in European action on Thursday night. How do you see this one going?
I quite fancy Bournemouth here at the prices. I'm going to go Bournemouth draw no bets. I think Villa, they've had a revival, haven't they, recently? But they've got to take that midweek game quite seriously against Maccabi, because they lost to go-ahead Eagles in the last match day. So they kind of probably feel they need to make up some points there and take that game. You know, maybe they might rest a few less players than otherwise they would have done. And I don't know. I agree with James. I'm not sold on Villa at the moment. They scored 9 Premier League goals. And Bournemouth, when Villa are playing 2 games in a week, the last team you want to face really is Bournemouth for the energy that they bring to the table. They've lost 2 games, Bournemouth. The 2 games they've lost are away to Liverpool and away to Man City. Now that tells you how good they've been. I agree with James that they are, they're genuine top six contenders. If they have a fair win with it, with injuries, don't sell key players in January with no European football, they've got a right chance. They're going to see Villa as a rival for getting in those sort of areas of the table. And I think they'll be well up for the game. I'm going to, Bournemouth on the draw, no bet.
Okay, well, three more games for us to focus on in the Premier League. And we're sticking with the 2 o'clock kickoffs now on Sunday. Big game at the City Ground where Nottingham Forest play host to Leeds United. Forest 6-5 here, Leeds 12-5, and the draw 9-4. Still a big task on the hands of Sean Dyche. I think a lot of people, Dan, were maybe anticipating he'd come in and have a big impact straight away, but it's not proven to be the case.
Well, no, I would disagree there. I think they've, the two home games, they beat Porto, great result in the Europa League 2-0, and a 2-2 draw I mentioned earlier against Manchester United, where they've come from behind, got themselves in front, as I say, could argue, but based on the quality of the chances, that they maybe deserve to win that game against an in-form now Manchester United team. So I do think, and I understand, they lost away from home, in the game before Nottingham Forest. But I think at home, it's strange with Forest. They're the team at the bottom that no one seems to worry about.
Yeah.
There's Dyche going in, and eventually they are going to need some points, otherwise people will start seriously worrying about them. But I don't, I'm one of these people, I don't worry about them. I think with the squad that they got and the manager that's in there now, I think they'll start moving up the table, in the very near future. And I think Leeds at home is a nice game for them. They lost 3-0 at Brighton last weekend, 4 defeats in the last 5 away games. I think Leeds at home, their home form could have a big part in keeping them in the league. Yeah. But away from home, I'm not sold. Forest, odds against at home to Leeds, I would take that Forest to win.
I mean, Dan's mentioned already there Leeds' home form, James, but they are going to, at some stage, have to show a little bit more away from home. I mean, you can understand a bit of a thumping at Arsenal, and they were a little bit lucky to lose late on against Fulham due to the own goal. But again, another 3-0 loss on the road last week. There needs to be some improvements.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, they haven't scored in any of those 4 defeats. And the other one was against Burnley, which, that would have been a real kind of target for possibly an away win. So their only victory on the road came against Wolves, who, as we know, are really struggling. So I think they're going to have a tough game. I'm still not sure about backing Forest, particularly after a European away trip at short odds. I'm looking at a fancy price first goal scorer in this one, each way price on Joe Roden, Leeds centre-back. He's going to be a really big threat at set pieces. Scored twice in his last 5 Premier League games. Both of those were in the first half against Bournemouth and West Ham. And he also scored in 2 of his last 3 World Cup qualifiers for Wales. So I think in what looks like quite a trappy fixture for punters, I think he's worth a couple of quid each way.
Yeah, well, 2 more games to come. And up next, it's the GTEC Community Stadium. Again, another game kicking off at 2 o'clock on Sunday as Brentford go head-to-head with Newcastle. The Bees are 19-10 to claim the win here. It's 27-20 Newcastle, and the draw is 5-2. Newcastle normally have responded really well in Europe, and they did it again last week after that disappointing defeat at West Ham Milts. It's then getting back to the kind of bread and butter of the Premier League, and this looks like a tough trip.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've mentioned a few teams that who need to improve their away record on this show, and Newcastle are certainly one of them. Just looking at them after they flopped, I think they went off about 4-6 at West Ham and obviously lost that game last weekend. They've only won 2 of their last 12 away from home in the league, and one of those was against the Leicester side who were on their way to relegation last season. I think Brentford are a nice price. Again, having had a free midweek while Newcastle were in Champions League action. Brentford won this fixture 4-2 last season. Keith Andrews deserves a lot of credit. A lot of doom over his appointment in the summer. But I think they've really exceeded expectations, particularly at home, beating Aston Villa, beat Manchester United, and then that really impressive 3-2 win against Liverpool. So I think Brentford are almost 2-1 are a nice price to extend Newcastle's rotten record on the road.
I think it's probably been a little bit unfair on Brentford. A lot of the focus has been on the long throws and set pieces so far, but they're a bit more than that as a team.
They are, yeah, and I kind of thought the same as those people a few weeks ago, but I watched a few of their recent games. At times against Liverpool, they played really well. Some nice football. The game at West Ham away, I know West Ham were awful on the night, but they completely outfootballed West Ham there on the night. It just took control of the ball and controlled the game. So there is more to them than just counter attacks and long throws and set pieces. And I think they're a really nice price here. I think I would just back them to win the game. You think they've got 10 points from five home games. Those five home games have included Chelsea, Manchester City and Liverpool. So that is a hell of a return, from their home matches, averaging 2 points a game there. And Newcastle away from home, still not had an away win yet. They were leggy at West Ham, come out and got a good result against Athletic Bilbao in the week. But the last half hour of that game, when they were 2-0 up, Bilbao kind of up the ante, and they looked leggy again, I thought, Newcastle, towards the end of that game. And then it's to then have to go to a tough Premier League game against Brentford, who have had a free midweek. Anthony Gordon, as I said, he came off as well. So there's the strain starting to show a little bit, I think, for Newcastle. And Brentford look overpriced to me.
And last but not least, we're going to head to the Hill Dickinson Stadium on Saturday. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff for the clash between Everton and Fulham. Everton are 6-5 to claim the win here. It's 12-5 Fulham and 23-10 the draw. All of a sudden, after a run of disappointing results, Dan, Everton are being dragged into this battle at the bottom end of the table.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay. Generally they're well organised and defensively strong. Under David Moyes, and Fulham obviously picked up a important win after a poor run they'd had as well last week. So I think both teams, they're Everton 14th, Fulham 15th at the moment, kind of lower mid table. I think they'll end up around about that, a similar sort of area by the end of the season. And the reason I say that, from a negative aspect, is up front. I look at Everton up front. They're he's swapping between Tierno Barry and Beto. Neither looks convincing, in any shape or form. And until that changes, I just don't see Everton, even with Grealish's creativity, scoring enough goals. And similar with Fulham, that they're centre forward options. They kind of alternate between Jimenez, who's probably seen better days, and Muniz, who I don't think is, the standard really that they're looking for. And they kind of struggle to score enough goals. So, bearing in mind that the lack of centre forward quality for both teams, I can see a tight game. Going to go with under 2.5 goals was odds against, which was a surprise to me. I think that's a good bet.
Yeah, James, you look at the league table, only a point between the two sides, pretty evenly matched.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Everton get a tentative vote from me in this one. I think it is a tricky one. I'd certainly echo Dan's thoughts on the strikers available. Everton actually created plenty of chances against Tottenham, ended up losing 3-0, and could easily have been 3-0 up inside the first half hour at Sunderland and ended up drawing 1-1 there. So, and I think they are slightly superior to Fulham, and obviously with home advantage, they've beaten Brighton and Crystal Palace at home. Slightly fortunate in both of those games. I think it is going to be a tight one, but Fulham, have to be opposed away from home, really. It's at 1 point from five away matches this season. And as Dan said, short of a cutting edge up front as well.
Yeah, well, that's the Premier League covered then for this week. Up next here on The Assist, it's your FPL update, and then we'll discuss all things EFL. Well, it's FPL time again now, and Tom Hill is back to join us to give us his tips on who to have in your team this week.
Game Week 11 is another chance to make inroads before yet another international break, with Game Week 12 not starting until November the 22nd. The likes of Gabriel, Declan Rice, Erling Haaland and João Pedro all rewarded managers a week ago, and there's some juicy fixtures to target over the coming days. There are five matches taking place on Saturday and the same again on Sunday, so let's take a look at the three best outfield players for the week ahead. For our defender pick, we're going to keep repeating ourselves and say get buying Arsenal's Gabriel, who is now priced at 6.6 million. He's the highest scoring defender by 14 points, securing 18-10 weeks. The Brazilian last failed to return in game week 5, and he faces Sunderland away from home this week. According to the odds, the Gunners have just over a 50% chance of keeping a clean sheet, and the fact they've only conceded 3 goals all season is impossible to ignore. Sunderland have registered the fewest shots on target so far this season, and Gabriel's ability to score from set pieces means he could be, should and could be one of the first names on your team sheet if you want that success going forward. In midfield, there's plenty of players who appeal this week. Of course, Mohamed Salah and Bukayo Saka will be very popular, but our pick is set to face Fulham, and Ilham Ndiaye at £6.5 million looks like a great alternative option. David Moyes has suggested his recent substitution against Sunderland was only a precaution. He's owned by less than 15% of managers and scored a stunning goal against the Black Cats to net 9 points on Monday. He's got 52 to his name so far, and the home clash with Fulham offers plenty of potential. The Cottagers have the second worst away record in the Premier League, gaining only 1 point from five outings, conceding 11 goals in the process. With Ndiaye playing in midfield, there's also that potential for clean sheet points, and he's also chipped in with some good DEFCON numbers in those last few matches. Up front, it's another week where Erling Haaland becomes the guaranteed pick and likely captain choice for many. There's so many managers that want to select elsewhere and find picking the Norwegian boring, but scoring points is the name of the game, and he doesn't look like slowing down, even against Liverpool. He's now going to set you back £14.8 million, and another double-digit haul in game week 10 was a reward for managers. He's now got 13 goals in 10 games, and while Liverpool's form was picked up with back-to-back clean sheets, it's so risky to go without the City talisman. Liverpool and City may trade blows in a game as they try and gain ground on Arsenal. Haaland's current strike rate makes him a lock yet again.
Well, big thanks to Tom for his FPL up. Attentions now to the Football League, and once again, managerial merry-go-round changes over the course of the last week. Dan, we've seen Will Still lose his job at Southampton. He lost three on the spin, haven't won any of the last five, currently towards the bottom end of the table, and we know these days in the Championship, there aren't many owners who are willing to let you go without run, without losing your job.
No, I think with Southampton, the expectations of a relegated club, especially with what's happened in the last few seasons, where quite often the relegated teams have just, you know, been absolutely brilliant, haven't they? And have often dominated the promotion race. So I just think the expectations for these clubs, and bearing in mind Southampton in the summer, they were fairly ambitious with their dealings, kept a lot of their players from the Premier League. I understand they had a terrible season last season, so maybe there was, you know, kind of a need to maybe, you could even argue, to make more changes, but it was never going to be an easy process. And they lost a lot of games and drew a lot of games under Will Still, where they had kind of done quite well on the stats. And funny enough, under his Tonder Eckhart, who took over for the game at QPR, they were kind of battered for a lot large periods of that game and got a 2-1 win. Will Still would have, cried out for, a couple of them kind of results. But I think there's talk now about, some people are saying Matt Letizia, ex-Southampton legend, has talked about, bringing in a more experienced man. Apparently, Tonda Eka is under consideration, 32-year-old. Which way they go, we'll have to wait and see. But certainly a lot to fix. Although I would say the Championship is a long season, 32 games to go. They're only 8 points off the playoffs, Southampton, after the midweek win. So all is not lost yet.
No, things can change very quickly indeed. Just a quick word on another manager as well, because Middlesbrough in the top three in the Championship at the moment. Plenty of speculation suggesting that Rob Edwards might be the main target for Wolves. Just what a setback that would be for Borough.
I think it would be quite a big setback, because there was the feeling that it might be a bit of a transitional season after Michael Carrick left, favoured a possession-based style of football. They were seen as being a bit too open. Edwards comes in, didn't seem to have a massive budget, but changed the style and also immediately got results. All of a sudden, they look a real competitive, physical, organised team who you wouldn't want to play against. So he has done a very good job. I would say maybe there's a little bit of a lack of individual quality in the squad, and whether they can actually, maintain and stay where they are in the league. Whether he stays or whether he doesn't, I think is open to question. I watched the game at Watford last weekend. They lost 3-0 and, didn't really... they were well beaten there. Come back with a decent 1-1 draw at Leicester, and they're up there. But, I think... I don't think it'll affect them much in the short term, but, they'll be better off keeping him, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Borough have got a big game against Birmingham coming up this weekend as well in the Championship. Time now to get Dan's thoughts on the best bets across the EFL this weekend. And Dan, we'll start with the Championship. Who's your selection here?
I'm going to go with a Friday night game. Watford to win at home to Bristol City. Watford made another managerial change, brought Javi Gracia back for his second spell, but they took a lot of stick for it because Petzolano, the previous manager, had taken 7 points from his last three games in charge. But the fixtures, Watford kind of owner knew that the fixtures coming were going to be a lot harder than the ones that are coming. To be fair to Gracia, they are showing improvement, and it's showing that the squad that was assembled is a decent squad. They beat West Brom 2-1 at home, beat Middlesbrough 3-0 at home. I watched the game, the 1-1 at Ipswich. I mean, they come under pressure at times, but play very well away to Ipswich. There's not many tougher games in the Championship than that. So Watford, to me, are really looking on the up now. I think that they've got a nice big squad as well, so they can change things around for a second game in 4 days. Bristol City, in contrast, they've had two defeats in a row. Lost 5-1 at Stoke last weekend, 1-0 at home to Blackburn on the Tuesday. Picked another two injuries up to two of their, I think Sykes and Neto Borges picked up injuries in the 1-0 loss to Blackburn. They've got 10 on the injury list now. And so to go to Watford, who are fast improving at the moment with that many injuries, is a tough ask. So Watford, odds against to win, that looks a good bet.
Yeah, it does indeed. And so Watford, the selection in the Championship, who are we looking at in League One, Dan?
Going to go with Lincoln to win away to Rotherham at odds against. Now, Rotherham had a decent recent run. They've last four games have picked up 10 points, but the injuries are kind of returning for them now. The cup game at home to Swindon last weekend, they got knocked out by League Two Swindon in the FA Cup. Went into that without Jamal Baptiste and Zach Jules, two centre-backs who picked up injuries in training beforehand. Then they've played Burton at home on the Tuesday, come from two behind to get a 2-2 draw, but didn't look like the performance was that great. So I think there may be a kind of a poor run incoming now for Rotherham. And Lincoln, who have had a free week and have had a really strong season, been up there in the top six, still there at the moment. I think Lincoln to win at odds against looks a really good bet.
Yeah, Lincoln certainly got their sights on a promotion bid this season. So that's League One covered. And last but not least, who's your tip for League Two this weekend, Dan?
I'm going to go with Fleetwood to win away to Crawley. Crawley are made favourites for this game. Just looking at the league table, it looks the wrong price. I mean, Fleetwood draw no bet odds against. Fleetwood are 10th, not far off the playoffs. Got 7 points from the last three games. Crawley are 23rd. Now, they did win, had a good win at home to Bristol Rovers, the last home league game. But in the cup last weekend, they lost 3-0 away to Boreham Wood. So it's kind of a little bit of a fleeting recovery, that win, by the looks of it, at home to Bristol Rovers. Ryan Lough got sent off in that game, the centre forward for them in the game against Bournemouth. So he looks like he's going to be suspended. I just think Fleetwood look overpriced. In good form, odds against draw no bet, take Fleetwood.
Just a reminder then of Dan's EFL tips for this week. Then Watford in the Championship, Lincoln in League One, and Fleetwood draw no bet in League Two. It's James's chance now. It's for his bet builder. And not surprisingly, Milts, we're looking at the big weekend clash in the Premier League, Manchester City against Liverpool.
Yeah, we're going for the box office fixture. I think this could be a crucial win for Manchester City. That's the first leg of the bet builder. You know, we've mentioned home advantage could be really significant. Liverpool have got a lot of questions to answer after some really poor away performances. I think Pep Guardiola was able to shuffle his pack in midweek. You know, Liverpool were excellent against Real Madrid, but they had to put a lot into that game. And I just think City, the way they've brushed aside Bournemouth and Dortmund in the last couple of games at the Etihad, I think they're going to take maximum points in this one. Second leg is Josko Gvardiol to have one or more shots. He's a real menace, whether at set-piece situations and from open play as well. Last season, he averaged 1.1 shots per 90 minutes in the Premier League. He's keeping that up this season. He had five attempts in his last four games. And I think given the way Liverpool have been defending, I think he may get the odds sight of goal. And so we're going to boost the odds of the bet builder with Conor Bradley to be shown a card. One of the stars for Liverpool against Real Madrid. But again, that performance will have taken a bit out of him. And with Frimpong injured, he's likely to start again at right back. He's already picked up five yellow cards in the Premier League and the Champions League, despite not being a regular starter this season. And he was also booked twice in three World Cup qualifiers for Northern Ireland. So I think possibly up against Jeremy Doku, the twinkle-toed dribbler, he could be set for a tricky shift in Manchester.
Okay, just to remind you, the three legs then for James's bet builder this week for Manchester City against Liverpool. It's Manchester City to win, Gvardiol to have one plus shots, and Connor Bradley to be booked. We're going to turn our attentions now to the assist treble, one selection each from the three of us. And Dan, we'll start with your pick first. Who are you going with here?
Yeah, going to go with Lincoln, 5-4 to win away to Rotherham. They've had an important Bradley in their side, Sonny Bradley, ex-Portsmouth centre-back who's been marshalling their defence really well, only conceded 11 league goals. So they've got just the right sort of defensive attributes to cope with most away trips. And they can certainly, I think, see off Rotherham, who have been hit by injuries, as I mentioned, and they sort of struggled to a 2-2 draw at home to Burton on Tuesday.
I think you're going in the EFL, Milts, as well, aren't you, with your selection?
Yeah, I'm heading to League Two for my run. Salford to start this round of fixtures in third place, and they're at home to Cambridge. Salford may be a little bit flattered by their league position. They've won three of their last four at home, knocked out League One Lincoln in the FA Cup last weekend. We mentioned how well Lincoln are going. And Cambridge, I think they're really struggling to create chances away from home, failed to score in their last three games on the road. Only had three shots on target in those matches. And one of those was a defeat to a struggling Shrewsbury. So I think they should be taken on at Salford.
And my selection comes from League One, and I'm going with the leaders, Stockport, who I was slightly surprised to see were around 13-10 to win at home to Luton on Saturday. Now, Stockport have won the last four games on the spin, and they haven't conceded a goal in their last three league matches at Edgeley Park. Luton have seen a slight improvement, you would say, under new boss Jack Wilshere since he's arrived, but they were run really close by non-league Forest Green last week when they were 3-0 up in the FA Cup, and then they got it back to 3-3 Forest Green before a late Luton goal. It's a big step up, though, to ask them to take on Dave Chandler's men at Edgeley Park as well. I think Stockport are a really good price. I'm going to go with Stockport for my selection. So the assist treble this week is Salford, Lincoln and Stockport. And we'll conclude this week's show with the naps of the week from both James and Dan. And Dan, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nottingham Forest at 5-4. I think that Sean Dyche is having an impact, certainly on the home performances, the Porto performance, the Manchester United performance. I don't think it'll be very long before they start putting some home wins on the board in the Premier League. And I think one will come against Leeds, who have lost four of their five away games.
Your nap, James?
Yeah, I'm going for RB Leipzig to win at Hoffenheim in the Bundesliga. Leipzig lost 6-0 at Bayern on the opening weekend, but they've responded really well on seven of their eight subsequent games. The only one in which they dropped points was a draw with Dortmund, who are also going well. Leipzig thrashed Augsburg 6-0 in their last away fixture, and I think they should be too slick for Hoffenheim, who've lost three of their four at home this season.
Big thanks to both James and Dan for their input on this week's assist show. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Just a heads up as well to look out shortly for our upcoming Ashes preview, with Australia and England set to do battle down under later this month. Keep an eye out for that on the Racing Post YouTube channel. But for now, the assist will take a week's break because it's the international break next weekend. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. For now, enjoy your football this weekend. And as always, please remember to gamble responsibly.